You know, this morning I want to just take a kind of set an introduction. You know, I always believe that anything that goes right, you introduce it. You introduce it, and then what follows after that is the body and the message and so forth. And, you know, today we are here on a very special day. And I want to just give you an introduction, so to speak, to this day and to what it means to us, to go over some things we've gone over many times in the past. You know, it's real simple. I just want to ask you this simple question. Why are we here? It's a silly question, right? We're here because it's Sunday and we finally got it right. No, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. We're here, brethren, because we are here on a commanded holy day. We are here because God has set apart in His plan this special day for us to come together, to worship Him, to honor Him, and to understand this special gift that has been given to us. So let's begin in Leviticus 23. Let's go right to the beginning of this day to better understand it, to set the stage, the introduction. As we start here in Leviticus 23 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." You see, these are feasts of God. They're not feasts of the Jews. They weren't created by any other man. We are here to keep a feast of God, a feast that God set apart for us, a commanded holy day that we are to keep. Going on, we read in verse 9. In verse 9, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." Going on in verse 15, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath." And that's what we've done, brethren. After the days of unleavened bread, we took that Sabbath and we counted 7 weeks. We celebrate that, we call that Feast of Weeks, those 7 weeks. And we come here today to honor and to keep this holy day, this day of Pentecost. Going on in verse 21. "And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." You see, brethren, God commanded this assembly, this holy convocation for us to keep today. And He didn't say to do it just for a short period of time and then stop. He said to do it throughout all your generations. It was not put away in the time of Christ, but it was magnified with an even greater purpose. And today, brethren, is a remembrance for us, a day to remember and celebrate the greatest gift God gave to His children, the gift of His Holy Spirit. We have the opportunity today to learn more about this gift, to know what it is and to know why we should know it. It is another day in the process of our conversion to God's way of life. You see, it is a long and steady process. It takes years for us to get to that point, and then we have to continue on. You see, we don't end. It doesn't stop. We don't stop changing to become like God. God wants us to continue to move forward, to continue to have that attitude, that Christ-like attitude in our lives, to continue to live and to become part of God's family. Another day in the process, to know His truth, to emulate Christ, to grow in the fullness of His Holy Spirit. Because right now, we have just a small portion of it. Because that one day, that one time, that one point is going to come when we are going to have the fullness of that Holy Spirit, when we will be Holy Spirit completely. And we look forward to that time, brethren. It is a time in our future. We are getting closer and closer to Christ's return. Our minds must be focused on God's truth and ready to give an answer for what we believe. Let's turn back to 1 Peter 3 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we read here in verse 13, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of the threats nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." With meekness and fear, brethren, or respect. Respect for our calling. Respect for what God has shown us. Respect to live that way of life. A way of life that He has shown us and given us and instructed us that we are to continue. To sanctify, brethren, it means to set apart, to consecrate. We set apart our way of life so we can become more like God. So we are emulating God in everything we say and do. To sanctify, we make God our one true focus, with no other idols or cares of this world replacing Him in our hearts. We don't allow, permit, support, vindicate, or authorize any other form or passion to replace God's place in our hearts. Can we do that, brethren? It is a slow and steady process we have to continue with. It doesn't happen in one day. It doesn't happen in a month, in a year, in 10 years. It is an ever-ending process we have to continue with, to change, to never let God and what He's given us, that special gift He has given us, to never let it leave our hearts. To be ready always with an answer, a defense for the hope we have for our beliefs, as it says here in verse 15. We live in a very uncertain time, brethren, in this world. You look around at the things that are going on. You look around at this government and at the things that are happening around the world. I mean, it's chaos. I've never seen in my life anything as crazy as what I've seen here in the last couple years. It just continues to deteriorate. Everything around us. But we have been given God's protection as we are baptized and we receive God's Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us in our lives. It is a promise. I'm not going to turn to those scriptures, but you all know them. The scriptures where God tells us, "I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will always be there for you. When you need me, you ask and I'll be there." God has made that promise to all of us. We can take that, brethren, all the way to the kingdom. It will never change. God's promise to us will never change. This country that we live in was built many, many years ago by people who came to this country looking for religious freedom. They came here looking to establish a relationship with the God that they understood. They wanted to get away from being persecuted. And so they came here, and this country was blessed by God and the people because they sought to please God. But things have changed, haven't they? You know, I read this week about a poll that was taken recently about the number of people that said that they attend church on a weekly basis in the United States. And they said it in the poll, it was around 40%. 40% of the people in this country said that they attend church on a weekly basis. 30, 40 years ago, that number was quite significantly higher. 100 years ago, it was a lot higher than that. This country just continues to go downhill. People have lost sight. They attend service. But what are they really attending, brethren? You know, it's tough for these people. And we have to be aware of this. We have to look at what we're doing. Are we keeping God first in our hearts? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 1, and it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Look around us. We live in this age, brethren. So many of these things you can see around you on a daily basis. The people have lost sight of loving God. This country has lost sight of loving God. Yet we still are here today, celebrating a day that God set apart, that we have His gift of His Holy Spirit, which gives us that understanding, the ability to understand what God wants from us, the ability, brethren, for all of us to learn, to seek a form of godliness. Now, the people of this world, they haven't been called yet. God hasn't opened their minds to understand that yet. But He will. He loves them as much as He loves you. And He will at one point. When He gets to that point, He will open their minds. He will give them the same opportunity He's given each and every one of us. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Brethren, there is no new truth out there. God's way of life is the same. It has been the same since the beginning of time. There's nothing new for us to learn. But we can take what we've learned and continue to make it better in our lives. Continue to make it a better focus. Continue to build that character in each and every one of us. It says here, God tells us we are to preach in due season. We have to understand, brethren, this world, they don't get it. They don't understand. But we have been given this miraculous gift, this gift from God to understand what this day means, to understand how it fits in our life and how it will fit in our lives in the future. Such a great blessing for all of us. Let's turn back a few pages to 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. And brethren, we know that we are coming to very, very perilous times. We see here 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. False prophets and teachers among us, brethren, we have to know the difference. How are you going to know if someone is preaching false doctrine to you if you don't know your Bible? If God isn't so strong in your heart that nothing replaces it, how are you going to know? How are you going to know the truth if it's not in your life every day? If you're not making it a point every day to better understand what God wants from you? And He gives you that gift of His knowledge through His Holy Spirit so you can understand it. It just, every time I think of it, it amazes me. You know, we know how much God loves us. We can see it so clearly in His Word. And yet, we fail at times. We forget. We lose our path. We fall off that path and we head down a direction we can't go. And we have to change that. But the thing is, God gives us that understanding. And He always brings us back. He allows us the opportunity to see our mistakes and to come back to where we need to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's go there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel from which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Brethren, this world doesn't know what the true Jesus is. They preach a Jesus, but it's not the right one. They don't understand the difference, but we do. And we have to be wary when somebody comes to you and wants to tell you something that's not of God. Are you able to discern? Are you able to see clearly that's not God's way? We have to be watchful, brethren. We have to be careful to not allow Satan to deceive us. To know the difference in what this truth is from God, what Christ taught us, what He revealed to us, what He gave us in the penalty, in giving up His life for the penalty of our sins so they could be forgiven. It is a time for us now to renew our covenant with God, our promise made in our baptism to change. You haven't forgotten that, have you? You know, when you were baptized and you said, yes, I understand. And you're baptized not in any denomination or any sect, but into the body of the living Christ. We then have the opportunity to have God's hands laid, to have God's Holy Spirit given to us through the laying on of hands. And we have that opportunity to receive God's Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Brethren, Christ was sacrificed. He gave up His life. He came to this earth and He allowed Himself to be killed for the penalty of our sins so that we might have the chance that the first fruits later would have a chance. Those that have died would have a chance to be once again to rise and to have a chance to be with God. We are called, brethren, we are called also as first fruits. We are called to be a part of God's family. We are called because God wants to build that family in all of us. And we all have that opportunity. Let's turn back to James 1 and verse 18. James chapter 1 and verse 18. Let's start at verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that He might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. We are called, brethren, we are called to be a part of those first fruits, so we can then be able to train others when the time comes. We have this great gift from God, this opportunity now to learn, to be taught, to understand what God has in store for us in the future. But we have to keep God first. He has to be in our hearts. Let's turn back to Acts 1 and verse 1. Acts 1 and verse 1. We see here in verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. Verse 8, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Power, brethren, God's Spirit, He has promised us we will have that power from His Holy Spirit. We're going to come back to that in another later on. Right now, I want to go over just a page to Acts chapter 2. You know, we've talked about this, setting this up as an introduction. This day of Pentecost, and we have to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all together, brethren. They were all of one accord. That's what we're to be seeking, to be of one accord, one mind, one spirit, God's Holy Spirit working in us. It's not several dysfunctional, divided, but one accord. That is what God wants from us. And He put them all here in one place, and they received His Holy Spirit. Going on in verse 36. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Repent, brethren. Christ wants us to understand we have to repent. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in prayers. They were able to understand, brethren, all the many different languages, but yet they were able to hear it and able to understand because they had the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And we have been given that same gift. We know, brethren, that it is not our choice. We can't go out and say, I want it now. I want God's Holy Spirit. Let me have it. It doesn't work that way. God tells us in John 6:44 that unless He calls us, no one can receive His Spirit. We have to understand that. It's not of ours to go get. And it can't be bought either. We know that Samuel... I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll come back to that. Anyway, we know, as it says in John 6, that no one can be called unless God calls. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. We can look around this room, brethren. We know we are not the mighty. We are not the strong. We are not the well off. But we were called and we were chosen. And God gave us that understanding despite that. Because God wants us to be a part of His family. God saw something in us that we probably didn't see in ourselves. And God understands that. And God wants that in His family. And so He called us and gave us the understanding through His Holy Spirit. It was given to us to know the mysteries of the Bible. Matthew 13, verse 10 and 11 talks about that, how God has given us the knowledge and understanding. We have to hang on to what God has opened our mind to understand. We know, brethren, there are going to be many end-time tests and trials for all of us. And it's going to get harder. But we can't let things get in the way or sway us away from our calling and lose our crown. We have to be aware. Aware of what is coming and don't lose hope. We have God's Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 talks about that. It is a power that allows us to understand what the truth is. It is revealed to us through that Holy Spirit, through that power. John 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14. And verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. See, God has given us that Holy Spirit. He has put it within us, brethren. It dwells within us to lead us, to guide us, to help us to understand what God wants us to know. It's not a human form. There is no Trinity. It is a spirit, brethren. There is no third person mentioned in the Bible. There is not Jesus and God and another. There is just the two. But God gives us His Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit, a thing that moved people when they were called on the day of Pentecost, as we read in Acts. Brethren, it's our responsibility still, even though we might have been baptized 30, 40, 20 a year ago, it's still our responsibility to repent, to change, to move forward, to use that Spirit to guide our lives. It is such a blessing, and yet it is so hard to keep it in the right focus. It is our commitment to God that we want to do it His way, and with that change and commit to God because of the gift of His Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Acts 18 and verse 14. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Simon, brethren, tried to buy the Holy Spirit. Got the right name this time. He tried because he wanted it. He saw there was a difference in it. He wanted that same power that he saw that Peter and John had. But brethren, you cannot buy God's Holy Spirit. You cannot go out and seek it on your own. It only comes as a gift. A gift that none of us are worthy of, yet God still sees fit to give it to us because of His love and His mercy for us. So we have that gift. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Brethren, if we don't have God's Spirit, then we aren't of God. And that might be hard to accept, but that's the way it is. If we don't have God's Spirit, we're not of God. And we aren't Christians without God's Spirit. It has to be in us now. It has to replace the evil spirit and the attitude of this world. It has to be a part of our lives. It's the only way then, brethren, that we can be a part of God's family. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness..." I read this before. Okay. We know what that one says. We read it already. Ended up in my notes twice. Okay. Must have been important. "When someone preaches a different Jesus or we receive a different spirit..." And brethren, there are different spirits out there. There are spirits that are not of God. There are spirits we have to be careful of and not allow them into our lives. And those different spirits, we have to be careful. And I'm not talking about the fermented spirits. That's not the ones I mean. I mean the spirits that are out there in this world. You know, it's really crazy how far this world has come away from God. A different Jesus that this world wants to teach, opposing what Christ taught when he was here in the Old Testament and the New. Christ inspired the prophecies of the Bible, but this world doesn't want to hear this. Again, brethren, they only want to preach the name of Jesus, not what he really meant. This country we live in is full of people that believe in a God, and they believe they're trying to be Christians. And I said roughly before that roughly 40% said that they go to church weekly. Well, that's what they said, but when they actually went to the churches and they actually checked to see how many people, the number's closer to 20% in this country actually go to church weekly, not 40%. And there are other countries out there that are less than that. You know, I read something about the Catholic Church. In Italy, the Catholic Church, something like almost 89 or 90% of the people belong to the Catholic Church. If they are of a religious nature, they almost 90% of them are Catholic in that country. Yet only 8% of them attend church on a weekly basis. So it's not that important to them. They say they're Catholic, and they say they believe in a God, but they're not following God because they don't have His Holy Spirit. They're not being led by something that is over and above them. The thing that we have, the thing that we've been given as a gift. We have been given that, brethren. We have been given that Holy Spirit. I read 2 days ago about a question they asked this country. They asked religious Christian people, would God be happy if he came back to this earth now with their way of living and the way of this country? And 90% of them said no. They didn't think God would. People understand that there is a God. Most of them would tell you, yes, I believe in a God. But they don't understand what God means. They don't have that knowledge. Yet here we sit on God's holy day, blessed to have that knowledge and understanding. Blessed to know, because of that free gift of His Holy Spirit, of what's in store for us. They don't know. Those people don't have a clue. They want some of them to be right, and they try. And I know people that are very good out there that don't have any knowledge of God's way of life. They're good, strong, honest, hardworking people. But God hasn't opened their mind to understand yet. He hasn't given them that gift yet. But we do, brethren. We have been given that gift. God's Holy Spirit has been given to us. Let's turn to John 14 and verse 17. John chapter 14 and verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And going on, verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. Going on in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Again, brethren, just what I've reiterated and just what I've said earlier, God gives his Holy Spirit. It comes from him to teach us all things, a blessing for us, to guide us, to lead us, to understand. It doesn't come from the world, brethren. It comes from God. John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. We are guided by God's Spirit so we can understand Bible prophecy and where this world is going. It is truly a blessing, brethren, something that we can only receive because of our baptism and receiving God's Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Back a couple pages. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying which the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Stephen was sought out because he was full of faith and power, and he was led by God's Spirit, and he was filled with it, so much so that they ordained him as a deacon. And God tells us we should be using God's Spirit to the best of our ability, but doing it humbly, righteously. We don't allow God's Spirit and the gifts that come with it to puff us up. They're not to make us self-righteous or fill us with pride or ego, but instead we are to use God's Spirit to be humble servants, growing in the different gifts that all have been given, and rejoice in those gifts. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. One Spirit, brethren, from God. One Spirit that ordains and directs and guides all of these different things. All of these different gifts. If you see yourselves having outbursts of wrath, jealousies, envy, contentions, the Spirit that isn't of God, work on it, brethren. Work on it to remove it. Work on it to take out those wrong attitudes. See them in yourselves. Be honest with yourself. Understand where that comes from. And remove it. Remove it and find God's Spirit. Learn to be the servants that God expects us to be. Working daily, tirelessly to remove the wrong attitudes in the spirit that is of this world. Be full of mercy and of one mind. Ephesians 4, verse 1. If you turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God is in all of us through His Holy Spirit, brethren. If we are being led by that Spirit, then we can become of one mind and more Christ-like in our approach. In our approach and our working together, we learn to love one another as God loves us, and to have the proper childlike approach to our friendships, our work, our family relationships. We exercise God's Holy Spirit in our everyday lives, so we are building the faith, not quenching the Spirit. For the last scripture, if you turn to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Brethren, we have been given that greatest gift. We have been given God's Holy Spirit. And we celebrate this day of Pentecost to understand what that gift means to us. To understand that as firstfruits in the family of God, we have a plan. God has a plan. And we have a responsibility to carry out our part. Let us all rejoice in this, brethren. Let us rejoice in this gift and prepare ourselves for an even greater time that is yet to come.